All right, let's take our Bibles once again. Turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. I'd like to look at the first five verses in this book and preface with something you know I'm going to say, that there's a lot of things said about this man Job. But of everything said of Job in this book, in these five verses that, Lord willing, we'll look at, the one we see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in this book gives honor, glory, and praise unto Him who is deserving of all honor, glory, and praise. So what we'll do is we'll read and we'll flee to Him and behold the glory of God in His precious face. Verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, there was a man. In the description, the definition of that word. Now, it surely does mean a male. It means that. There was a man. There was a male. But it also means, that word, is husband, servant, champion, or great man. And when we look upon Job as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, we behold in type Him who is our mediator, our priest, our king, God's servant for our sake, our redeemer. There was a man in the land of Uz. John Gill said this of that land. It was a land that was probably a wicked and idolatrous place. Uz. It was a place where we behold the distinguishing grace of God, because that's where Job was from, this man. But oh, the beauty of beholding the one in whom Job was chosen out of this idolatrous place. And the object of God's favor in our passage, Job. There was a man in the land of Uz, and his name was Job. You know what Job means? Hated. 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 Persecuted. And only of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, is it said that He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from Him. That's what all of us by nature do. And He was despised. And Isaiah, the prophet, said, and we esteemed Him not. Now you think about this. How much, Neil and I were just talking about this, the spirituality of the law. If someone were to ask you, do you esteem the Lord Jesus Christ? Now let's just be honest. Do you honor Him as He's deserving to be honored? Do you exalt Him in your heart as He is deserving to be exalted? Isaiah said, we esteemed Him not. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man, the scripture says, was perfect and upright. Now we'll all say and all agree that in Christ, Job, like all of God's people, is perfect and upright for his sake, according to his righteousness imputed. We are complete, the scripture says, in him. Oh, but the one that Job pictured was not found from the loins of Adam, but rather conceived of the Holy Ghost. Perfect. God in human flesh. Hebrews 7:26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." One day, by the grace of God, we'll understand that. "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Now you think about this. Think of the temptations that we have. The temptations. All of them. Don't exclude any of them. All the temptations. The scripture says, "He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, without thought, without a deviation in his heart. He who is truth." Job was said to be upright. He was straight. That's what that word means. He was straight. In himself? No, not in himself. The scripture says, "The good man is perished out of the earth, and there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net." That's Micah 7:2. "But there's one among men who is upright." One. Psalm 25:8. "Good and upright, straight, just, and faithful is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners the way." Job was a man, the scripture says, that feared God. He reverenced God. Here again, which man, which woman would be willing to stand up and say, "I reverence him as he is deserving"? The one Job pictures reverenced God and eschewed evil, turned aside, never considered it, never bowed to it, never succumbed to it. The scripture says, Job feared God and eschewed evil. Hebrews 5, amazing passage of scripture. Verse 7 says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Boy, his reverence. Doesn't say he was fearful. He was submissively reverent. And did always, for the honor and glory and praise of his Father, those things that pleased him. John 8:29, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. The Scripture says in Matthew 17:5, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Scripture says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had some children. He had some children. Psalm 127:3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a possession of the Lord. Who gives children? Of the Lord. They're a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Oh, but concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a heritage to Christ given by the Father, a people chosen in Him. Now this is Ephesians 1. We've read it so many times. God has a people. He has a heritage given to the Lord Jesus Christ. A people of His choosing. And they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God has a heritage, a people, a possession, a peculiar people of His choosing, and they were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And those that He has chosen shall be presented to Him, to the Father, as vessels of God's grace. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 2:11-13. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Now listen to the relationship of God's heritage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:11. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. They're His. By gift of His Father, they're His. By purchase of His blood, and they're His by willful submission of them unto, made willing in the day of God's power in regenerating grace. They're His. They're one. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, here's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I and the children which God hath given me. Job had some kids. Scripture said he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Scripture says in verse 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Job, relatively speaking, in himself, was a rich man. He had much possession. He had a great household. but of the one that Job pictures. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwell therein. Job was a rich man. Almighty God is rich in creation. He's rich in mercy, rich in love, rich in power, rich in grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now you talk about mercy. 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 When we were dead in sins. When we were in our hearts children of wrath, even as others, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Job, relatively speaking, had some earthly possessions. The Lord owns all of it. It's all His. Job had a great household, the Scripture says. Oh, the Lord's household. Out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. Out of every household. Out of every place. Out of every. Brother Henry made this statement one time. He said, God's got a people out of every family. How many children have died in infancy? How many? I'm convinced. These children die in infancy according to the Scriptures, according to the words of David. I can't go to where he is. Now he said, he can't come back to me. I go where he is. God's got a people. The Scripture says His substance was sheep, cattle, oxen. He had a great household. And this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Oh, but listen. Let me tell you who is the greatest of all the men. Let's leave off the East part. Psalm 96:4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. Great. But for His people to be saved, He who is rich humbled Himself. Humbled Himself as the submissive servant to His Father. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. How great was He? Lord, You know. I'm gonna have to just answer like Ezekiel. And just can these bones live? Lord, You know. How great is the Lord? Lord, You know. I don't know. He who was rich became poor. How poor did He become? Lord, I don't know. I don't know. That ye through His poverty might be rich. And the Scripture says, verse 4, and His sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. Now you know, though, many, many wonderful qualities could be found with the children of Job. They love one another. Their fellowshipping was together. They preferred one another's company to other people and other places. And they were seen to stay out of situations that might hinder them or drag them down. But though there were many wonderful things, They feasted in their own houses. They called their three sisters to eat and drink with them. You know, families are so wonderful. It's wonderful when there's harmony and peace and comfort in a family. And this was one that obviously was that way. It was good. But there was a concern and a love that Job was said to possess for his children. He desired the mercy and grace of God, and he knew something of their nature, that all men are sinners. Job knew that. 1 John 1:9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is in us. These his people, his children, they fellowship together. We fellowship together. Here we are. We come together and it's good to be together with God's people. I missed last Sunday and last Wednesday. And you know, when you're not here, it's just empty. You just miss it. I want to be where they are. I want to be with God's people. And there was he had a tight family. Tight. Tight. What a blessing. What a blessing. But there was something about Job. And here's the preciousness of Job, the one he pictures, the great high priest. The scripture says in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, and Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. What was it that concerned Job? Well, the scripture, the wording says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in my heart. I tried to spend much time to get the meaning of that word. That word cursed, it means blessed or cursed. It's the same word, but in this instance, the Spirit of God wrote that word as cursed. And it means to deviate. To deviate. To turn, to err, to get off track. That's what the meaning of that word is. What tenderness and compassion. After the days of their feasting, this man that feared God, shewed evil, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent and sanctified him. He sent and he brought them unto himself, is what he did, to allow them to know the love and concern that he had for them. Do you know the way that the Lord sends and brings us to himself? We know that through the preaching of the gospel. How do we know? How do we know his love for us? How do we know? And again, I admit the depth of my understanding is so shallow. But Job sent and sanctified them. Not that he could make them holy. He couldn't. But he was going to set forth the one who does for his people. He rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. In particular, he offered that burnt offering. That burnt offering was that sweet smelling savor. That offering that was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. The burnt offering. There was different offerings, the meat offering, you know, the wave offering. The burnt offering was that offering that was offered unto the Lord that pictured the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ in His submissive death to put away the sin of His people, to be made sin, put away. That was the burnt offering. And it was a sweet-smelling savor. He offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. Set forth that he was praying for them individually. It wasn't just a blanket statement. Whenever he died, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for his people. He had them on the mind. I know my sheep. Whenever he prays, do you think it's just a blanket statement? That he just, you know, no. I know my sheep. Whenever he told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I prayed for you. When I consider this precious thought, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever liveth, to make intercession for His people, when I think that He calls my name before the Father's throne, that's personal. That's personal. I can try to pray for you. I try and call your names. And I don't know. I don't know the depth of your need. The Lord prays for His people. He prayed for His children. The Scripture says He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. The Scripture says that all we like sheep. Now, I read this word again. I looked at it again. Here's what he said. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. Now, there's a word that a man would have to say. It may be. But the one that Job pictures, he knows. He knows. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It may be. It may be that they've sinned, that they're led astray and cursed God in their heart. Renouncing or forgetting him. This is the definition. Renouncing or forgetting him. Now who's not guilty? Putting him out of sight, not giving him the honor which is his due. We know. We know that he knows. We know that we have, and we know that he knows. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. I was talking to you about that scripture. Let me just read that. I'm going to close. This is Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Think of the impression that was made. Peter, we talked about this. Luke 22, verse 31 to 34. Here's the account of what I quoted a while ago. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you learn something, when you're taught something, when you are converted. I mean, Peter was a man regenerated by the grace of God. But when the Lord said, when you're converted, when you're taught. I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And the Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. But when you're converted, when you're taught, when my Spirit brings these things back to your mind, I want you to strengthen the brethren. You're going to learn something, Peter, by experience. Well, years later, Peter, who obviously had been taught something, he stood there and he made that bold statement to the Lord, I will go to prison. I'll die for you. I'll die for you, Peter. When you're converted, when you're taught, strengthen the brethren. And years later, the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to these words. Verse 6 to 10. 1 Peter 5. 6 to 10. humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Peter's saying, don't boast. Don't tell God what you're going to do. I'll never do this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. I wonder if he thought back on that instant, that night, when he told the Lord, I'll never deny you. Be sober. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter said, I know just a little bit about that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Scripture says that Job had called his kids, sent for them, sanctified them, offered burnt offerings, because it may be that they had sinned and cursed God, deviated in their heart. And thus did Job continually, praying for them. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Job, Scripture says, he did that continually. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There was a man lived in the land of Uz, and he was perfect. Feared God. Eschewed evil. Had some children. Taught those kids. Prayed for those kids. What a glorious picture of God's church, His children, kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Lord, bless it to our hearts for your glory.